From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour begins, Who's Behind the Secret Door? A number of guests hiding back there. We'll find out who they are. But first, I don't know if you are a fan of sushi. You have to have an acquired taste for that. But they're finding dangerous mercury levels in sushi tuna. Now, they found it at 20 New York City restaurants, tested positive for unacceptable levels of mercury that might pose a health risk. And experts say the problem likely exists all over the place. According to the story, consuming just 6 pieces of sushi tuna per week would exceed the standard level set by the Environmental Protection Agency. Tuck that away. A new study gives the strongest evidence yet that obesity surgery can cure diabetes. Patients who had surgery to reduce the size of their stomachs were 5 times more likely to see the diabetes simply disappear over the next 2 years than were patients who had standard diabetes care. This, according to Australian researchers, most of the surgery patients were able to stop taking diabetes drugs and achieve normal blood tests. How about that for a story? Hawaii is moving to ban aspartame, which includes, of course, the NutraSweet and Equal. The efforts to ban this substance that they say is addicting the public and triggering so many symptoms and diseases, from MS and lupus and seizures to Parkinson's, diabetes and obesity, even in some cases blindness and death. We're going to be talking with an expert about this in just a few moments here on Coast to Coast. 6 different types of prescription drugs were found in Heath Ledger's apartment, including anti-anxiety medications, sleeping pills, though the cause of his death won't be known for several days after a preliminary autopsy Wednesday came back inconclusive. A rolled-up $20 bill was also found on the floor near the Australian actor's bed, but lab tests detected no traces of drug residue. Police also said no illegal drugs were found in the apartment. The Australian-born actor was found dead Tuesday by his housekeeper and a massage therapist, lying naked, face down on his bed. He was 28 years old. The Internet has made it virtually impossible to do something and not have it recorded and shared with the world, including a phone call. A student in Virginia called a school administrator's home and asked why the school was not dismissed for a snowy day. Well, the administrator was not home, so the student left his name and telephone number and received a return phone call message from the administrator's wife, who was not very happy about the message.
Don't you ever call here again. My husband has been at the office since 6:30 this morning, but don't you even suggest that he purposely didn't answer his phone. He is out almost every single night of the week at meetings for snotty-nosed little brats, and he may not have called you, but it is not because he's home, because it snowed. Get over it, kid, and go to school.
So she stuck up for her husband, didn't she? Future thrill seekers will ride a sleek spacecraft berthed under a massive twin boom mothership to the fringe of space in a design unveiled Wednesday by Virgin Galactic. You can go to the coasttocoastam.com website, look at the feature story. There's a great picture of the Spaceship Two spacecraft and its White Knight II carrier. It will begin initial tests this summer to shake down the novel space flight system designed by aerospace pioneer Bert Rutan. Flights will last about 2 hours with 4.5 minutes of weightlessness when the 60-foot Spaceship Two reaches an altitude of about 68 miles an hour. Well, now the Air Force is coming out with an excuse for those UFOs, or that big UFO seen over Texas. They are now saying that 10 Air Force Reserve F-16 fighter jets were the cause of the light seen over parts of Central Texas earlier this month that many believe to be UFOs. The F-16s were on a nighttime training mission, they say, over the Brownwood Military Operating Area on January 8th near Stephenville, Texas, according to these statements. Now, Major Carl Lewis speaking for the Air Force.
We did have aircraft operating between 6 and 8 o'clock in the Brownwood Military Operating Area, which is called the MOA. It's a military operating area that's set aside for training activity for military aircraft. We can operate safely and do our training in there, and it keeps the public safe as well, too. Between 6 and 8 o'clock on the 8th of January, 10 F-16s were in the Brownwood operating area.
I don't know. Why are they saying this now? Why didn't they say this then? Several people in the area saw lights moving fast across the sky, and also other witnesses saw something that they thought looked like a mile long, gone in an instant. Well, in a moment, Dr. Betty Martini joins us. She is the founder of the Global Volunteer Force Mission Possible International, educating all of us on the dangers of aspartame, she says. She'll be with us in a moment to talk about Hawaii moving to ban this substance. She's next on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Betty Martini, the founder, as I mentioned, of the Global Volunteer Force Mission Possible International, educating the public on aspartame and warnings of the dangers of this. She's been doing this for 14 years with operations now in most states and more than 30 countries plus of the world. She works with the world experts who write the reports that you will find on her web pages, which are linked up now at coasttocoastam.com. She spent 22 years in the medical field before this and created the first health delivery system in the U.S. I'm going to talk with her for a moment about this situation. Hey, Betty, how are you?
Oh, just fine. So happy to be
Good.
On your show again.
My pleasure, and I'm glad you're here. Tell me a little bit about Hawaii, first of all. What got the state of Hawaii to even think about moving to ban this substance?
Well, actually, there's a man in Kauana by the name of Jade Brugel that has been talking to the legislature for some time about it, and there is a Dr. James Bowen who lives there who has Lou Gehrig's disease from it. And, of course, our information is literally around the world. They keep getting the information. So I was just delighted. They heard a lot about New Mexico, and, you know, about a year ago we tried to get it banned there, mm-hmm. and they had lobbyists, like, saturated, like, maggots all over the Capitol. And so their bill is very similar to the one in New Mexico. And so this year they just decided to do it because there were so many people reporting so many problems that they were having, the symptoms, you know, the MS, the lupus, people going blind, all the birth defects, what it's doing to children. And they realized also with the new Ramazzini study, or actually there are two now, showing it to be a multi-potential carcinogen, which goes along with the studies the FDA had from the very beginning, and that it was carcinogenic and neurotoxic, they decided to put the bill out this year. And I'm just delighted because it's they've got a very good chance of getting this through. There's a lot of support behind it.
Betty, would you say that using sugar would be a better thing than using aspartame, at least it's the better of the two evils?
Well, aspartame's a chemical poison, so absolutely anything, even sugar, would be better than that. But it's not that they don't have anything. For instance, there's one called Just Like Sugar, that just chicory and orange peel, and chicory's been used for 70 years to aid diabetics, where aspartame can actually precipitate diabetes and interacts with insulin. So there is something safe out there for people to use. They don't have to use something that's poisonous, but the problem is that they advertise this, for instance, as something that's diet, when in fact it makes you crave carbohydrates and gain weight. It's addicting the kids. It liberates free methyl alcohol, which causes chronic methanol poisoning. This affects the dopamine system of the brain and causes the addiction. This is one of the big problems in New Mexico. There I was addressing the Senate, and most of the senators were sipping Diet Coke. And so once they get hooked, it's like saying, listen, this cocaine's not good for you. And they want to hang on to it. And the behavioral problems, the psychiatric problems, the doctors say that, you know, a lot of the people in mental hospitals today are simply aspartame victims, because what happens is it depletes serotonin from the brain and it causes bipolar, suicidal tendencies, just panic attacks. For instance, Time magazine had a front page article a few years ago, 1 million small children with bipolar, when bipolar is in fact an adult disease. So they don't see what they don't even think about, what in the world is causing all this, and they put them on all these psychiatric drugs, which interact with every one of them. So, and that's in Dr. Roberts' medical text, Aspartame Disease and Ignored Epidemic.
How many toxicologists, Betty, have asked the FDA to ban this stuff?
There are 12 toxicologists that have asked them. Basically, because of the Ramazzini study, they haven't done a thing. And, you know, there are certain laws. For instance, if you file a citizen's petition, the FDA has 180 days to answer. I want you to know I filed one 6 years ago, and they had the arrogance to write me when they didn't answer it and say, you know, we have things of more priority to do. And then in October, I filed one on an imminent health hazard, which gives them about 10 days, and they completely ignore it. So they serve above the law, and they know the reason they can't answer it is, for instance, in the last 24 months, there's over 14 new studies showing aspartame toxicity. I mean, how bad can it get? When a study like the Trocco study shows that the formaldehyde embalms living tissue and damages DNA, I actually flew to Barcelona and talked to the researcher, and he said, Betty, this is going to kill 200 million people. I said, no, doctor, it's already killed 200 million people. That is the problem. And I recently came back from New Zealand where an actress by the name of Abby Cormack almost died from Wrigley's aspartame gum. They thought they were just about to diagnose her with bipolar.
Oh, my God.
She got on the website. She was rolling on the floor. The medics had to come after her. They thought she had MS. A few days after finding out, seeing all her symptoms, she was on doorway. And when she saw the symptoms, she got off. And about a week later, I guess it was, she was just fine, and Soil and Health and the Safe Food Campaign in New Zealand brought me over, and I lectured with Abby and also with Sue Kedger from Parliament. And because we were on TV and there was so much publicity, people would come up on the street and say, I had the same symptoms. I saw Abby on TV. I got off and I got well. They now have a petition to ban in New Zealand.
And they get well. They get well quickly too, Betty, don't they? If they stay off this stuff.
But some of the stories are so horrible. One woman had lost 7 babies on aspartame. Her husband tried to kill her, and then hung himself. I mean, some of the tragic stories because of the, you know, this is this.
Well, why don't they move this stuff out of foods and drinks and bring in some of these natural things that you just mentioned?
Well, first of all, one of the things that I think the reason is, first of all, the FDA actually told the truth in an article in the New York Times when they asked the FDA why they didn't ban it, and they were talking about the economics to the manufacturer. In other words, the manufacturer is going to lose money.
Well, isn't the manufacturer? The manufacturer is a Japanese company, isn't it?
Oh,
the biggest one?
Ajinomoto, absolutely.
What is our FDA concerned about the financial fortunes of a Japanese company?
Well, then they've got Marisan, which is a bunch of Monsanto managers. They sold part of it even to Michael Dell, and there's another company up in Massachusetts that owns part of it, but Ajinomoto is also here in America. Their lobbyists were in New Mexico.
How would the manufacturers defend this? Would they say?
They can't defend it. See, that's the problem. Everything is a matter of public record. Anything I could tell you, I could give you a government record. It's one of the reasons why the FDA won't answer my petition, because it's based on the fact that their government records show that it's a poison and that they're lying to the public and that they themselves revoked the petition for approval. And the story of how aspartame got on the market is one of the most incredible in history, that Don Rumsfeld said he'd call in his markers and get it approved. And in the movie Sweet Misery, A Poison World, James Turner is explaining what happened, that he was on Reagan's transition team. And the day after Reagan took office, he appointed someone to approve aspartame and be the FDA commissioner. And incidentally, I recently spoke to the wife of the FDA commissioner that was there at the time, Goyen, and she said she was there and sent me an affidavit where the Reagan transition team called her at 3 in the morning and told him he had to resign. And then they knew it would take 30 days to get Arthur Hayes to the FDA to overrule that board of inquiry. So what they did is they wrote an executive order making the FDA powerless to do anything about it.
Unbelievable.
Hayes there. And now
Donald Rumsfeld seems to haunt us all over the place, doesn't he?
Yes, and they've stricken the executive order from the records. And I sent a FOIA request for that, and 20% of the FDA audit that the Bressler report that Jerome Bressler told me that they deleted, well, a couple of months ago, it was confidential. And when I sent them a record showing it couldn't be confidential, it was a public record, they said they destroyed it.
Now, this is this exactly is what was it original intent for? I mean, was it made as a sweetener, or was it an additive for something? What was it?
Well, according to articles, it was originally listed with the Pentagon in an inventory of prospective biochemical warfare weapons submitted to Congress.
What?
And that's in the prestigious Ecologist, which we have on my website, which is www.mpwhi.com, Mission Possible World Health International, and you'll find it on WNHO.net. And also, Nutripoison, which gives the whole history, says that. But according to Searle, they were making an ulcer drug, and they licked their finger. But the thing of it is that the law states that an additive must be inert, or it can't cause any biologic problem. Well,
right.
The FDA list of symptoms that they have accepted are 92, including death. I guess that's the ultimate symptom.
God.
You know, the medical text is as big as the New York phone directory, Dr. Roberts, and then there are other symptoms, and Dr. Blaylock has written excitotoxins, the taste that kills, of all these neurodegenerative diseases. In some of these recent studies in Greece, it shows that it causes Alzheimer's, and memory loss is so prevalent, it's like number 9.
That's frightening, buddy. This is absolutely frightening. It sounds like you're telling me a horror movie.
Yeah, the thing of it is that it's true. Everything is in the records, and I've been taking the case histories for 16 years, and we have an aspartame information list on mpwhi.com. These cases come in day and night. The brain tumors, it breaks down to a brain tumor.
How would you like to debate some of these company manufacturers and those corporations that use this if I can get some kind of group panel together? Would you?
Yes, but they
won't come on.
I'll tell you something, they simply won't. In fact, I was interviewed by Atlanta Magazine, believe it or not, right here in the home of Coca-Cola. And in the article, this was in August, they went to Coca-Cola and they said, well, don't you want to answer Betty Martini? And the answer from Coca-Cola was, no, we'll let scientific peer-reviewed research answer her. And this came out when I was in New Zealand. So I held up Dr. Walton's research for 60 minutes showing that 92% of all independent scientific peer-reviewed research shows the problem.
Unbelievable.
The Coke has now been answered.
All right, Betty, we're out of time on this short burst here, wanting you to react to this situation in Hawaii, and I want to thank you for coming on the program.
Oh, I'm just delighted.
All right, thanks. That's Dr. Betty Martini. What an incredible story. Look, here's the bottom line. And here's my recommendation to you, because I want all of you to live a very, very long life. Read the labels of just about everything you buy. And if there's a chemical in there that you feel very uncomfortable with, just don't buy it. I can't stand, you know, that chemical. What is that thing? It is MSG. Yeah, I just can't. I can't have it. I can't have it. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to talk about your money. Don't go away. Well, the stock market had a wild ride today. What a swing. Whoa. In a moment, Ms. Shedlock joins us. She's going to put it all into perspective for us. And the next hour, who's behind the secret door? Ms. Shedlock, registered investment advisor, representative for Sitka Pacific Capital Management. And we're going to talk with him about the ups and downs of our economy. Hey, Mish, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back on Coast to Coast. I always love being here. I was on a few weeks ago, and I was telling people to be prepared for a wild ride, and what a wild ride we had.
Hold on. Indeed, indeed. Even today, what a swing, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it started on Monday when the U.S. markets were closed. A big sell-off in Asia that spread to Europe. And by the time it rolled around to the U.S., when we opened down monstrously big, sold off all day. Bernanke stepped up to the plate and tried to calm the market down with a surprise rate cut. And that really didn't work. And but we recovered a little bit, then gapped down today. And now we've got all sorts of bailout plans coming out of Congress to bail out AMBAC, MBIA, the bond insurers.
Mm-hmm.
So the market rallied today, and just a wild ride. But all of this, it's what's amazing about this is the stock market's really, if you stop and think about it, the stock market's only down about 10% this year and only down about 15% from the all-time highs that it made back in November.
And it's probably a healthy correction, Mish.
It's the start of a massive decline is what it is, but the panic over it right now. But you know what? They're panicked about a couple of things. There's $500 trillion, and that's with a T, of derivatives out there, and all it takes to sink this ship is for some counterparty to not make good on that debt. And that was the fear over AMBAC, MBIA, the credit insurance. But there are credit default swaps everywhere. A credit default swap is actually a bet on whether or not a company survives. And there's trillions of dollars bet on whether or not these companies survive. And someone, Merrill Lynch or someone, thinks they've got their bet hedged, but that hedge is only good if the counterparty is good. And what we're going to find out is that a counterparty somewhere along the line is really Madam Merriweather's mud hut in Malaysia or something like that, who can't make good on that swap. And so that's what's spooking the market here, I think. There's something going on beneath the scenes that we don't see yet.
I think you're right, and it's much bigger. It's much bigger than we think, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, $500 trillion. That's 10 times the global economy that's bet in all of these derivatives. Remember, a few years back, it took Warren Buffett almost a year to unwind, $10 billion or something in credit default swaps, and that was in calm times. Now you've got banks sitting on this stuff. There's essentially no market for mortgage-backed securities. There's starting to be no market for some of these credit card derivatives that have been securitized, packaged up, bundled up. And pension plans are holding this stuff. It's going to be a disaster. You know, they've made assumptions about returns in these pension plans. Bond prices are so low, interest rates are so low, so that they can't meet those assumptions that they've made on these pension plans. So they've invested in all kinds of risky stuff. They're out there investing in commodities. They invested in these mortgages. And countries worldwide got hit on this. Their cities in Norway were buying asset-backed commercial paper, mortgage paper, that is now essentially worthless. Yukon in Canada was buying this stuff. Three Australian hedge funds went under. And as long as they could push this paper out the door, everything was fine. But eventually what happens, there's no greater fool left, and the whole thing starts to unwind. And that's where we're at right now. And it's just the beginning of this unwind.
What do you recommend? People are, you know, the mood of the consumers, they still will go out and shop. I mean, we can't shut the economy down here, Mish. What do you recommend?
Well, actually, I think consumers do need to pull back, and we're seeing that attitude change right now. Even something as trivial as Starbucks. Starbucks just came out today with, maybe it was yesterday, came out with a dollar cup of coffee. It was, you know, $3 or something was their cheapest before. They're coming out with a buck coffee. We're seeing fall-offs in traffic at restaurants. Certainly the Christmas shopping season was dismal, and that started all the way back in Thanksgiving when Walmart and Target, they started their sales 3 weeks early trying to get consumers interested. Consumers weren't interested. What's happened is the consumer's out of money. So if that is the situation heading into a recession, how bad is it going to be when this recession gets full-blown? And it's coming. Banks are laying off people. We've still got a mortgage crisis that is not yet unwound. And more layoffs are coming in the retail sector. I'm looking for commercial real estate to blow up. So the rational thing for consumers to do in this kind of environment is to start saving cash and spending less, and we're seeing it. Even the after Christmas sales were dismal.
So might be a good time to buy pretty soon, huh? Or wait a little bit?
Oh, for the stock market?
Well, no. For real estate, for example.
Oh, for real estate. My gosh. I think the bottom is something like 2012.
2012?
Yeah.
Why do you pick that year?
That's
the Mayan calendar year.
Well, that wasn't the reason. The reason
that
is...
That was it. That's what they knew.
We have pay option arms. We have subprime mortgages that are going to reset in 2008 and 2009. In 2010 and 2011, the pay option arms, where people who are, you know, underwater with all the negative amortization, a massive number of those are coming up in 2010 and 2011. So the earliest I can envision a bottom for housing is 2012. And if that sounds, 4 years off, well, that's a long time. Well, housing prices in Japan fell for 18 consecutive years. And people say that can't happen here. Well, maybe it can. I don't think it's going to go 18 years. But there's certainly no reason why it can't go 6, and we're 2 years in already, so I'm expecting at least another 4.
So let's say, you know, here these houses in Los Angeles are still out of sight compared to what I see in St. Louis. But is there anything wrong if somebody does want to buy a house, and let's say it's listed for $500,000, to make an offer of $350,000? Maybe they'll take it.
Oh, maybe they will take it. Some of them are going to have to take it. If someone bought long enough ago, if someone bought in 2000, 1998, 1999, they're still...
They're going to make a little profit still.
They're still going to make a little profit. What actually needs to happen is for home prices to come down. And what's interesting is that all these programs coming out of Washington, all of our legislators, that want affordable housing. So home prices are actually falling now, and they're panicked over it. They really don't want affordable housing, because if they did, they would just step back and let it happen and let the market get there. So it's really just lip service, this thing. And what we really need is lower prices and for property taxes to go down. Wages aren't going to go up. And that's the problem. We've got ourselves into a situation where home prices rose three standard deviations above norm.
Payments are higher than people's incomes can support.
That's exactly right.
That's the bottom line, and they need to come into line. Let me ask you something, Mish, that a lot of people, a lot of media haven't brought this up yet. Is the Iraq war, in the billions and billions of dollars we're spending on it, contributing anything to this roller coaster ride?
Oh, of course it's contributed to this roller coaster ride. What it's contributed is we've wasted, and it's not billions, we've wasted close to $1 trillion over there. If you count some future liabilities for our, you know, injured servicemen, you know, they're come home, you know, but just in actual outlays, it's something like $750 billion. I mean, that money could have been spent here building infrastructure or something. Instead, it was just totally wasted over there. But not only was it wasted over there, it contributed to higher oil prices. People want to know why gasoline prices are high at the pump. It's because the dollar's been falling, because China, Japan, and foreign countries are financing, you know, our debt here in the United States.
I know.
States.
We're controlling now the world's second largest oil reserves in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
and prices are higher than they've ever been.
Well, that's because there's less oil coming out of Iraq now than before we invaded.
Right, right.
And it's, but the amount of oil waste, one of the biggest consumers of oil is the fleet and all the jet flights and the U.S. military. If we just pulled back out of there and didn't waste so much money over there, not only would we not need so much oil, so oil would go down because of that, but it would just, you know, pressure the whole thing. And the energy policy in the United States is absolutely horrid. We're subsidizing corn, so, you know, corn goes into ethanol production instead of food. That's raising the price of food to feed cattle and chickens. So those prices food prices are going up because of misguided ethanol policy.
How long, Mish, can people take this? The working man and woman, the middle class, many of whom now are laid off, they can't find work. How long can they take this before they blow up like a pressure cooker that is not letting off steam?
I think it is going to blow. And it's going to blow when more layoffs come. People are going to have no choice. They are going to what Bernanke's biggest fear, I think, is more foreclosures. But those foreclosures are going to come. We're starting to see it right now. It's becoming socially acceptable, even for people who can afford the house they're in. But if they bought. And they're in California. They bought into one of these, and prices there are still insane. So let's say they're, you know, $40,000 or $100,000 or $200,000 now. Some of them underwater on their home. Well, maybe they can have a job and they can still afford that payment. They're looking at this thing right now and they're saying, "Man, the appraiser screwed me. The mortgage loan place screwed me. The bank screwed me on this. Everybody lied to me." Well, you know, they participated in it too.
Yeah, they were
greedy.
They were all part of it.
But they're going to hand those keys back over to the bank and say goodbye.
Well, you know, look, you know, if somebody is sitting at having a meal at a restaurant, right, and they're done, they're wrapped up, they're ready to leave, but the good old waiter comes by and says, "Hey, I want you to try this brand new apple tart. It's free. Take it." Chances are the person's going to eat it, right?
Right, yeah.
And that's the same thing that's happened in the mortgage business, where they made it easy for people to buy the houses they only dreamed about.
Right. They made it too easy. Someone with a $20,000 income could easily buy a million-dollar house.
With no verification of income.
It's the only way they could do it. If they verified the income, they wouldn't have got it. But there was fraud every step of the way. At every market top, at every peak, peaks and fraud go hand in hand, and that's what we've seen.
Why aren't we seeing indictments then because of the fraud? We saw during the SNL scandal, people were indicted. People went to jail. How come we're not seeing that with the mortgage business? Instead, we're seeing attempted bailouts.
What we are seeing is lawsuits. There's lawsuits against Washington Mutual. The state of Ohio filed a This one was kind of an interesting attack. They called it a nuisance. They said that Countrywide, Deutsche Bank, Citigroup were creating a public nuisance. And certainly, we'd see the fraud in California, but some of the inner cities, Cleveland got hit particularly hard. Deutsche Bank, this is serious, Deutsche Bank is the largest property holder for Cleveland. They own a tremendous amount of properties in Cleveland that are now foreclosed upon, and the nuisance lawsuit is coming in is because nobody has an incentive to maintain these houses, so they're just sitting there. They're being vandalized. People are going in there, stripping out the copper plumbing or whatever they can, anything that's not tied down that has any value. They're taking it out and selling it. You've got these wrecks that are, just sitting there. It'll be interesting to see what happens with these lawsuits. But Baltimore also filed a lawsuit. And lawsuits are flying just enormous numbers of lawsuits.
How long has this been going on, Mish? I mean, can you blame this administration? Can you blame Clinton? How long has this been going on?
Oh, actually, we need to blame the Fed and Congress. It was...
And when you say the Fed, we're talking about private banks here.
We are talking about, well, they're quasi-private. If you actually look it up, they make a profit on paper, but really they have to give it back to the Treasury. So these guys that are running the show are, actually paid politicians is probably closer to reality.
How much money do these guys get paid?
That I don't know.
I bet it's a fortune.
I would hazard a guess that it is.
I bet they're doing okay. I bet they're making their mortgage payments.
Oh yeah, and you look at the golden parachutes that Chuck Prince, the CEO of Citigroup, and the CEOs of Merrill Lynch and Countrywide, Mozilla at Countrywide. This guy pulled out $1 billion. Mozilla pulled out $1 billion in stock options over something like the last 6 or 7, 8 years, not all at once, but $1 billion is a lot of money.
And
he wrecked the he wrecked the company, and not only did he wreck the company, he wrecked a lot of people's lives with some of the practices that they did. The New York Times wrote about it. It was of course Countrywide denied that they were doing any of these practices, but. Anything that made money is just a target for graft. And as long as people thought that they could pass the buck, and that's it, they passed all of these trash loans to pension plans.
Well, and then they bundled them up and hid them, didn't they?
And they bundled them, and then the rating agencies said, well, okay, if we take a package of 20 subprime things, well, they're not all going to default. So we'll bundle all of these 20 things together into one big bundle,
yep,
and sell this bundle, and bing, we're going to mark it AAA. That was the pottiest notion ever.
Unbelievable.
And now this stuff is just sitting around. There's teachers' pension plan. The state of Florida got hit really hard on this. And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg, because I don't think all of these losses are realized yet, and it's just going to be a disaster.
Well, Mish, we're going to have to sit back and see what happens, but the biggest advice is pay down your bills, pay down your debt, go easy, live, enjoy your life, but don't go crazy.
Right. Live within your means, because if you don't, you're going to lose your job and be forced to. So I think the biggest piece of advice I could give for people out there is to be prepared to lose their job. Layoffs are coming. Put some money on the side. Stop spending. If you're really sure you're safe, then fine. But I think, before people need to think about putting anything into the stock market right now, they really need to have a year's worth of living expenses, saved up on the side.
20-second answer. The next president-elect, what is he or she going to face?
Oh, rising unemployment, falling home prices, Actually, I think oil prices are going to start to fall just because the economy is going to slow that much.
But they're going to have a mess to deal with, aren't they?
They're going to have a mess to deal with, and that mess begins with a D. It's called deflation. Nobody sees it coming, but it is.
All right, you heard it here at Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we begin our Behind the Secret Door, and I'm told we've got six guests that will pop in throughout the night. Six people. Who are they? We'll find out together.